a problem. Female trouble. Maybe I'm tempted. Female
Euphrasies, where the lunar unicorn breasts an amber pouring morn, risen from Hesperian seas of a main that has no bourn. Only things impossible there in deathless glamour dwell, Pegasus and Sagittary trotting part the ferns of fairy, succubi and seraphim tryst among the cedars dim, where the beaded waters brim, white limoniads arise, interlacing arms and tresses with the sun-dark satyresses. There, on Aquilonian skies, griffons questing to and fro for the gold of long ago, find at eve an orient star in the gulf crepuscular. There the Hyperboreans, pale with wisdom more than man's, tell the wileful centauresses half their holocryptic lore. There at noon the tritonesses, all bemused with mandragore, mate with satyrs of the shore. Love, could we have only found the forgotten road that runs under all the sunken suns to that time-estranged ground. Surely, love were proven there more than long and lone despair. Holden and felicitous, love were fortunate to us, and we too might ever dwell deathless and impossible in those amber-litten leas, circled all with euphrasies. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we begin the Ask Dr. Hal Show, live on radio. Yes, dear fiends, it is time once again for me, your irritating horror host, Dr. Howland Owl, to shepherd the revels of the strange creatures, the evanescent phantoms, always present and not always sensed, who smile or frown with visage hideous upon this enterprise invidious. I, Dr. Howland Owl, am here once again with my message of the easy passage of the golden key to other worlds, which only comes to those who search for it with effort minimal and success maximal. The hideous visage that nature, time, and the universe project may soften into more familiar, sentimentally approved lines of beneficence and blessing, if only one bears to cross the horned gate, the portal to mystery and the spirit of reason in the human imagination. Come with us then, while we recapitulate hundreds, nay, thousands of previous shows with the multiple voices speaking from the whirlwind. Long known, long cherished, and recorded long ago, still through the instrumentalities here at RadioValencia.fm, as it styles itself, they are heard again and will be during the next 3 hours. Yes, if you post a show on Radio Valencia, supposedly it can be retrieved, though some complain that this is more difficult than it ought to be. Still, I, Dr. Howland Owl, have faith that it can be done. Just go to my podcast page, easily discernible at Radio Valencia, our all spanking new website, only recently spanked into shape. And there, it will say 763 podcast episodes or something like that. Don't quibble about the number, just click on that blue line, and before you shall spread out a smorgasbord of previous shows, each one accompanied by an illustration and an explanatory essay by me, your irritating horror host, Dr. Howland Owl. These will be cicerones to your trip, step after step, down the mysterious sinusoidal path through the dark wood to the base of that mountain which the assiduous soul must climb. But strangely enough, the higher one goes upon this eminence, the easier it gets. Because as you ascend, so does your spirit, and you become more equal and more like the surrounding world. And we do all this while next door, a bumptious disco sends its thudding bass line through our uninsulated wall. And if you hear some of these sounds, they too must be factored in. Consider it the modern attempting to coexist with the eternal, although I must say it hardly is modern, because this is music from 20, 30 years ago. Where is the contemporary music? Or where is the music that preceded that unfortunate epoch, when there was such a thing as a fountain of joy from Tin Pan Alley, one of the streams, and from the Mississippi Blues Delta, another? On this show, you are likely to hear either. But perhaps there is some attraction in the knowledge that you are never completely sure what you are going to hear.
I can hear that, though not through the system. Yes, you're a little grouchy, you say. You know, I think that was dwarf number 8. They already had grumpy, but that is so fundamentally different.
That was dyspeptic. No one liked that dwarf.
He had arthritis, I think, in his joints, which made him grouchy.
Oh, sorry, did Roman ever eat?
I never saw Roman eating, but online, I thought I saw some diagram of his whole metabolism or something. Yeah, there's a lot of Roman stuff.
The fans have put a lot of stuff up there.
Put it in color, and I must have sent you Roman's row card, which you can cut out and put together.
Yeah, you cut it out, and you have Roman's vehicle that he drives around in.
You've got Roman's personal vehicle.
Right, yeah.
His row cart.
Yeah.
K-A-R-T.
Yeah, write to me. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
You want a little paper model of Roman's row cart? You have to put it together yourself. Put tab A in slot B.
Yeah.
Is that too much for
coach or something?
Your trembling hand?
I doubt if it's officially approved by Great Guidance.
Fingers?
Help me, Great Guidance.
Star Trek had a lot of weird carts, and, you know, like
Star Trek,
you know, away team delivery stealth, you know,
except that they didn't really use wheeled vehicles, and they, you know, in the one where they went to the gangster planet, they were having trouble driving the 1920s era cars, and
Spock
was saying helpfully, well, I believe there's a thing you call the clutch, and you put it, and finally Kirk gets it going, and then later on Kirk is having fun with it, saying, this is great. When I get back to Earth, I want to have one of these.
But, of course, internal combustion.
Spock just raised one eyebrow.
He's, well, but under that 1920s broad-brim hat, he probably didn't see it.
All the greens are
on the gangster world that they went to.
Is it similar to the moon cars they got to drive in real life?
You got to drive moon cars?
You mean the lunar rover?
Oh. Well, that's a little runabout.
A little rundown, wouldn't you say?
License plate, roll bar, safety
equipment. Extra batteries.
It would be heavy.
Wait, Herbie Mann rocks? Like, is this what you're telling me right now?
This is it?
You just bring back lunar
someone enthused about Herbie Mann.
Get your lunar rocks off and put them in this little satchel provided by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
That's like saying Zappa sucks.
Well, we're going to stay away from controversy like that.
It would always disturb Sterno staying in the...
Yeah. The Herbie Man.
Yes, Sterno would bristle at such a stinky.
At the Academy Award-winning film Summer of Soul.
Okay, well, that would seem to say decisively that he does well. Have such...
I remember
so that there's no more controversy.
I watched that Summer of Soul thing.
We're going to have to do it again.
Oh, my God. Well, they're thinking of Herbie the Love Bug.
It was a different time.
It was like, well, it's like Bob Dylan playing electric. At
the Love
Anytime you
bug.
Shift up away from the rules,
right.
Then people get upset.
Blasphemy.
And there was a lot of rock dabbling back then.
San Francisco.
1969.
Things were confusing, okay?
Amusing but confusing.
Let's go back there.
But then everything started getting...
Now I'm going to have a little banana juice.
Smoothed out in banana juice, eh?
High up over his little spirit, high up over the White House.
Flying around like...
I went to that chicken place that's open until 3 a.m. And I brought some chicken back here, yeah.
Buzzing.
I'm eating it now. The poor guy, I think he's going to go under. No one goes in there. No one wants chicken in the middle of the night. Except me.
And Roger Stone is the guy responsible, pretty much, for bringing Nixon out of this.
All talking about Nixon is always irresistible. Just as talking about Trump will be one day, instead of something hardly ever brought up in polite conversation.
Great.
Yes, Philo is going through his footlocker of memories.
Great check. Okay.
Ah, you remember that. Wow, that's an ancient memory.
Great check.
That's what you get when you talk to a machine in the middle of the
night. That's what you get.
Great check.
Okay.
I think there's Charlie.
There's construction going on here. Just
Charlie,
ignore it.
Is that you? Come down out
of
that hallway.
That's not a statue. That's really her.
Lift yourself up by your own cards. Computers don't laugh.
Unless you ask them to.
That's better. Regain your composure.
And remove yourself from the verification system.
Especially here on the Puzzling Evidence Show.
I must remind our audience that this is recapitulated.
You guys need money, right?
And no longer the Puzzling Evidence Show.
The station always needs money.
We make money.
An evolutionary progenitor of the current,
over here,
present moment.
And poke it. Stick these other things in it, and pretty soon we have a pile of money.
Pile of money?
Get those barrels open. Yeah, we got to get the raw materials in here.
Raw, raw, raw. That's what we say to those materials. Yes, anything which brings a lucrative stream in is welcomed by the paladins of the Church of the Subgenius. Look at it this way. If you see a coin on the ground and walk past it, then you have walked past what may be the fractal tail of a revenue stream, which, once you place it between your fingers, will be invariably directed in your direction. If you find a penny, it may take a while. A nickel, that will be shorter. And as you ascend through the wonderful decimal coinage system of the United States, invented by Thomas Jefferson to get rid of confusing pounds, halfpennies, and so forth. If you find a $20 bill, well, that means the blessings of Plutus will fall upon you. You will be under a golden shower, not that kind, but wealth immeasurable. However, if you pass it by, someone else will get it. Get it? time to turn our thoughts to science. True daughter of time, thou art. On April 10th, 2024, a supernova was detected in a nearby galaxy. A quasar, if you like, and not a Motorola television set. Over the next 28 hours, or was it 26 hours? At any rate, over more than a day, an international collaboration of astronomers sprang into action like a freed steel-coiled bedspring to observe the explosion before it progressed too far. Their efforts produced the earliest look yet at the shape of any supernova, the explosive death of a massive star, and revealed its blast wave breaking through the stellar surface. As some of you may know, and even worry faintly about, as I do, our own sun will go nova when it exhausts its hydrogen helium fuel and will expand brutally out into the area where we now reside, 98 million miles from its incandescent surface. Everything will boil away and be gone. Even the rocky and Bullwinkle core of this planet. But you know, folks, it's a strange thing. Within our planet, at the central fiery nucleus, it's really hot. In fact, it's hotter than the sun itself. The sun that birthed us and the other worlds. Down from the sun of old we came. But there is heat in planet Earth, and in all the planets, even in remote and lonely dwarf planet Pluto, and its huge bulging moon Charon, really it's kind of a binary system, within those planets, it's pretty warm. Perhaps this explains the unusual discoveries made when robot space probes reached that world, an outer world to us, but not the most remote world in our expanded solar system. There are planets beyond Pluto. You may have heard of them. Sedna, Quoar, or Biden, named after the recent president, Joseph Robinette Biden. Yes, Pluto, which was thought to be a frigid, static, frozen ice mass, turns out to have a free atmosphere and strange, colorful regions on its surface, never before suspected. One of them is even named, euphoniously, Cthulhu Regio, which is to say, the realm of Cthulhu. What scientists saw, what astronomers perceived on April 10th, 2024, validated the modern theory of supernova explosions. For most of their lives, stars at least 8 times as massive as our wonderful sun, our steadily burning sun, which produces a strictly limited amount of light and heat for millions and millions of years, with only occasional eruptions and coronal mass injections. These stars I speak of are 8 times larger than our sun. Hope's bright throne and burning axle tree has been celebrated since ancient times, worshipped by the renegade Pharaoh Akhenaten. And these eightfold suns generate an outward pressure through the fusion of hydrogen and helium atoms in their core, counteracting gravity and barely adding to comedy. But once these stars run out of fuel, the pressure disappears, the core collapses, the upper layers of the star follows suit, and they hit the core. They create a rebounding shockwave. The shockwave splits the star's surface and releases an immense amount of energy and light, which we see on our little world as a supernova. How does the shockwave start? It's a long-standing question. Some of us worry about such things. After all, as Bertrand Russell said, it is not entirely, completely certain that the sun will rise tomorrow, or it will be the same sun. On February 1st, we will see the full moon. What if while we're looking at its bright surface, it suddenly becomes many times brighter and as bright as day? Then we must kiss each other goodbye, because in a little more than 8 minutes, the wave of fire shall reach the earth and destroy first the side which is facing it, and then, as the planet continues to rotate, a tidal wave of incandescent atomic fury shall scour the continents, boil the oceans, and put paid to that experiment called life. When the shock wave splits the star's surface and releases an immense amount of energy and light, which we see as a supernova, its shape can reveal what initiated it. But this fleeting view must be captured by the latest scientific advances and equipment before the shockwave is disrupted by the material surrounding the star, and that can take just hours. With the European Southern Observatory's very large telescope in Chile, which was able to look at the polarization or orientation of this supernova's light, snapshots were snapped. They have special cameras which are not washed out by such fire and fury, using a technique called spectropolarimetry. Yes, these researchers use the light's polarization to recreate the explosion's shape in its first moments. And guess what? It looked like an olive. Yes, a gigantic olive. Shaken, not stirred, mind you. An elongated olive-like shape. The very first particles of light and matter apparently do not shoot out spherically from the star's surface. This was the conclusion of scientist Yi Yang, an astronomer at Tsinghua University in Beijing. Scientifically, this is very important, said Yi Yang, because the intrinsic shape of the shock breakout tells us a lot of how it was triggered at the heart of the star in the first place. I trust none of my listening audience can be similarly triggered simply by my relation of these unavoidable facts. The observations support the theory that the shock wave is initiated by subatomic particles. These are called neutrinos, And they are being energized deep in the stellar interior, which heats the infalling upper layers like water boiling in a pot. Just as boiling water bubbles erratically, the star's material bubbles up in an irregular pattern, which averages out into an asymmetric shock wave. But specific details still need to be hammered out in the blacksmith's forge of scientific ideas. And that will require more observations. More papers will need to be written. Computer simulations will have to be planned and observed. And salaries will be paid. Vacation times adjusted. Insurance premiums paid for. Upcoming surveys will glimpse many, many, many more of these supernovas, if even a fraction can be observed with this type of precision. I think we might see a new era of dialogue between theoretical study of these cosmic explosions and their observational validation. But let's hope that they continue to occur far away from us. And when I say far away, I'm talking about astronomical distances. That is far. We need to be far away from these giant exploding flame balls in space. And even at a decent distance, we still might be subjected to horrible side effects. Like, for example, gamma ray bursts, which I have discussed on other occasions.
Load those trucks up.
Trucks without lights unloading at the old Kanjiman place. Something hinky about that. Time to investigate. Send Polly Probe, Girl Sleuth, and her dog, Mr. Funderman, up to spy on these criminal characters.
That's the sound. It takes a lot of money to start the government.
She can record the sound. She can wear a wire, as they say.
I'm the government with a lot of money. You put the money in the government's carburetor, and then you turn the starter on. You got to get the various congressmen in there to turn the various wheels.
Time for some more chicken and rice. You know, the trick of picking chicken is picking what chicken to pick.
Good now.
And it's pretty good.
It's all better. It's all what? Pathetic?
It's tasty. Yeah.
Pathetic world, government, art, world.
Mm-mm-mm. Yellow rice and crackling tasty chicken.
Did you know that something a lot of people don't know about, but I'm going to go ahead and say it because I've remembered it today.
Okay, Philo.
You know, something that Bob really hates is he hates dashes. He hates to see things with dashes in it. So don't put a dash in the words.
Dots and dashes and lots of flashes.
Would you stop that? I'm asking you that because it's not Dobbs approved.
Well,
dashes are not, at least some dashes. Most
I get
dashes
slack from my dashes. So I'm going to keep on doing it.
The unsettling transitional ambiguity that they imply.
You see, a dash is an alternate form of punctuation.
Dashes.
And you must vary your punctuation to keep people reading your writing.
In a Dobbs-approved fashion.
I can read reading.
That is, you just have to get your name.
Read writing, but some writing's written rotten.
Dobbs Ecclesians 12, verse 9.
Don't quote the book of the Sabbatini to me.
Don't use dashes, please. Stay away from dashes.
H.G. Wells uses right. them. I rest my case.
And when in doubt, kick the dash out. That's
hey,
what Bob says.
Don't kick the dash with your big dirty feet, or I'll have you clean it off with a chamois.
I love this old tune. This brings me back to the old days, you know, when back back from the swamp.
Yeehaw!
Hotel and Annie. Me and Junior and Bubba were back there sitting on
Bubba.
Little Bubba. Just sitting there like a couple of
Bubba Buckets.
There you go.
Kids. Bubba
Buckus had a heart attack, lying on his back on the railroad track. Soon that old train comes chuffing, clickety-clack. How his bones will crack, what a horrid smack.
Thank you, guys. Hang in there.
It's true. It's all
people
true.
People gotta do what they gotta do. And we just have
a
to make
man's gotta do what a man's gotta
sometimes
do.
You don't get to do what you personally want to do, because you gotta do what the group says you gotta do, and that's more important sometimes. And just to, you know, that's what you're paying for. That's the important thing to remember.
We have kidnapped no toddlers on this show. Unless some may be listening far past their bedtime, Wee Willie Winky wouldn't approve. Perhaps we have kidnapped their imagination. Since these kids are not napping, it'll be good for them. Yeah, good for them. Good for them.
Us, the non-experts.
Expert Exports Incorporated.
I'm an expert at non-expertise. That's where I try to.
We shall have more expertise anon.
The focus is in those non-expertise.
You gotta focus in on the locus and get some traction on the action.
We have to let off steam to help the public.
You know, in addition to getting chicken, they gave me a salad, which I haven't eaten yet, and even a piece of cheesecake. I'm saving it in case K-Rob comes in. He'd like a piece of cheesecake. I know he would.
More elucidating.
More sugar.
Language in a way that makes it easier for people. Understand
the people for scoptophiliac subgeniuses.
Process to get in their ears,
get in there,
their brain,
yowza,
see it with their eyes that are on their eye teeth.
Oh, there we go.
But it hurts. Such a vision is painful. Painful.
Ooh, that's just nasty, though. That don't look at. No, don't do that.
I'm sorry, I've gone too far. I'm going to have to.
Okay, I'll wash your dishes.
Okay, you take care of those dishes, and I'll tidy up in the other room. That's not how to do the dishes, but if that's the way you want to do it, go ahead. I'll be an interested observer.
The nipples, tongue, neck, and lips may be utilized.
The ghost time?
Yep. Yeah, as we were talking about earlier about this.
Did you say ghost,
ghost
time?
And that one 420 guy thinks that they don't even have a sex. They're sexless.
He thinks they're beyond all that.
Somehow when people die, they don't retain their sex.
Like
some don't, some do.
Like a god?
A gun.
Some are
like
all sex, and they like retain it.
But you would be the same little ghost you were before.
I would be me.
Yeah. You'd be part
a
of you.
I wouldn't have to wear glasses anymore.
No, but you might wear ghost
glasses. Glasses when we're wandering around in the ether zone.
Have ghost glasses.
None of your body is even a body or material.
I always wondered.
And that includes your spectacle
stuff. You know, when you become a ghost, so you're ready to go. Unless you didn't have your glasses on.
Yeah, that would be a bummer. If you die without your glasses on, you're wandering around forever,
bumping into
stuff. Ghost.
You're bumping into demons and into Sharon in his boat, and he says, "Sit down, human." I'm sorry, I can't see. Which way do I sit? It doesn't matter. Just sit down or you'll be toppled over into the Styx, you hicks. That's what Charon would say, yeah. Never mind those glasses, buddy. Did they put a coin under your tongue? That's what I want. Give me a coin and I'll guarantee you a better ride.
This watch claim it from the Israeli agent Balali.
Caesar has decided that it must be temporarily absented by him, owing to so much unfairness of things from all sides in these parts. That's the way Caesar used to write. It meant he had to get up and go to the bathroom. But actually, if you read Latin authors, Caesar is incredibly easy. His sentences are short and without flowery expressions, deliberate, declarative. He never uses the personal pronoun. He always calls himself Caesar and just describes what Caesar did.
Only desire to gain increased self-confidence. Let us begin.
In other words, explode your P's, T's, D's, and so on.
Many have a very bad
habit of failing to speak the final consonant at all.
You sound.
What?
Better on your voice instrument through practicing these exercises.
Ladies and
Turkey by Henry Gibson. Hash is better than turkey because you don't have to run so far to catch it. In addition, it's a crusty old foodstuff and provides an escape from traditional fowl. But most of all, it is featherless. Cowboys like hash too.
And
the Russians attempting to avenge the death of San Francisco seem to have scored a big hit.
NBC Radio News on the Hour. Now here is Robert Money.
Genius Cocktail Lounge here at Radio Valencia, where we have beverages, some alcoholic, yellow saffron rice, chicken, cheesecake. Man, there's hardly anything we don't have. Did I mention a salad with Thousand Island dressing? Where are those Thousand Islands anyway? They must eat a lot of salad out there on the bosom of the mighty Pacific. And as for me, Dr. Howland Owl, I'm happy to be here. I'm a happy chappy. The only thing is, this damn place is cold. Of course, that's probably me. The blood creeps cold. I am no longer a youthful ball of radiant energy. Yes, I used to be like a young star, shining my light in all directions and warming those I came in contact with. If they consented, that is. But now...
You will remember...
Uh-oh, I'm under hypnotic control of some kind. What is it I was going to do?
You remember?
Nothing. Nothing is difficult to remember. Kinda hard to get your head around. But there's one way I can remember it. Yeah.
63.
I'm gonna...
64.
I'm gonna...
When I make love.
I'm gonna... No, not that. I'm gonna light one of these things up and... enjoy a little, slack. Relaxation. Biochemically induced. With this, I'll still be cold, but I won't mind it. Like in Arizona, I used to get high, even though it was so incredibly hot. And after you smoke, you say, yeah, it's hot, so what? I'm kind of comfortable. You're not sweating and cursing the weather anymore. And it kind of works for the coldness, too. I've asked people, does, you know, Pantagruelion, let's call it that, since it was invented by the giant Pantagruel, if you know your Rabelais. That's what he called the old hemp plant. So, your Pantagruelion will kind of inure you to the cold as well. Let's just take a deep puff. Oh, yeah.
For a cup of coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday it was free.
This is the stuff. Strictly forbidden by the rules here. They must be afraid you're going to burn the place down. I assure you, that worry is misplaced. It's one thing about Pantagruelion, it goes right out.
Well, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good.
Isn't it the truth?
They'll stone you just like they said they would.
Ow! It's young whippersnapper indeed.
They'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone.
No.
Everybody must get stoned.
Anybody who's here, I willingly pass it along to them.
They'll stone you when you're trying to keep your seat. They'll stone you when you're walking on the floor. They'll stone you when you're walking to the door. But I would not.
Now I wish I had a beverage. Oh, well. It's not in the nature of human beings to be satisfied with anything. And the gods laugh in derision at princes who manage to make themselves unhappy in their elaborate palaces. Happiness is a state of mind. Like slack. Just a friendly gesture, Bob.
They'll stone you when you're riding in your car.
You're a big star, so they offer you a...
They'll stone you when you're playing your guitar.
Yeah, it's hard. You can't really smoke and play at the same time.
I feel so all alone. Everybody must get...
That's not all they tried to do to you. They tried to tempt you with women as well as with drugs. Those record executives don't miss a trick. They'll stone you when you're doing a show. They'll stone you right here on the radio.
Well, they'll stone you when you are all alone. They'll stone you when you are walking home. They'll stone you and then say they are brave.
How's that again?
They'll stone you when you're sent down in your grave.
Not yet.
But I would not feel so all alone.
No, of course not.
Everybody must get stoned.
See, it goes out. They'll stone you when you're on the microphone. They'll stone you even though you're all alone. I could tell you where to get a cheeseburger right now within walking distance of this place. But does anyone listen to me? No. They go and get awful cardboard-tasting pizza that everybody else gets because it appears to be the only thing that's open. But 2 blocks away, you get Middle Eastern chicken. You get crispy, crunchy chicken. You get ice cream, you get french fries, you get onion rings, you get true enlightenment. This burg is bleak. Everything closes down early because the tech bros have to be tucked in by Wee Willy Winky or somebody. But some of us don't bow and kowtow to those maniacal contraptions. Instead, we're up doing shows, drawing cartoons, having the fun, eating the chicken, and don't forget the cheesecake. Cheesecake, yeah, I could sure use some of that.
So, now just a
let's go over that again. You say you saw some sort of... Oh, that J.R. Bob Dobbs. The things he makes us do. It's not that we are thralls of Bob, but that we are enthralled, rather, by his remedy of slack. You heard me. Slack. Slack, virtuous lady. Slack that ne'er was given, save to the pure and in their purest hour. Life and life's effluence, cloud at once and shower. Slack, lady, is the spirit and the power which wedded nature gives to us in dower. A new earth and a new heaven, undreamt of by the sensual and the proud. Slack is the soft voice, slack the luminous cloud. We in ourselves rejoice, and thence comes all that charms or ear or sight, all melodies, the echo of that voice, all colors, the suffusion from that light. Wolf, moaning in the moonlight. first. We're moaning at midnight. Don't have a moon yet. Don't